Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's Friday night. You know what that means. It's time for the Wandcast. The Writers, Actors, Directors podcast right here from Wandco Media. I am Josh, and joined with me, as always, is... You know what? I'm not even gonna Nope, not gonna.
Happy Friday, everybody. Brandon here. Good to see you guys. It's good to have a few hours for it to be at work here, so... Let's get this show started.
I know how you feel, because... I have a few hours before I have to go to work. A few thousand hours, but, you know, yeah. Hours nonetheless.
Yeah, so what's going on, Josh? How you doing, buddy?
You know what? I'm gearing up for this family vacation that starts Sunday, and I keep thinking, okay, I should probably start getting ready, and then I go... Can't wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then pretty soon it's going to be tomorrow and I'm going to not be ready.
Yeah. Well, just make sure you don't do the same thing that everyone else does where you want to leave at a certain kind of time to, you know, beat the traffic. You know how that always works out. You never beat the traffic.
No, you wind up beating your head into a steering wheel.
Yep. Anyway, so we have a show, one that was kind of, last week was not really our usual topic of conversation. Although I understand, like, yes, this is like an idea that we were originally going to talk about last week, then the whole government thing happened, but moving on from that, I've actually been waiting for this. I was, you know, like, this could be like a lengthy episode, but it can't be because, of course, I've got to be at work tonight. But this is something I've been wanting to talk about for a while because you see a lot of these universes, and you can tell where the studios are making decisions on behalf of these storylines, and sometimes they don't understand them. Sometimes they have it pretty well in tow, but there's so much that goes into it. So that being the case... You and I still had talked about the idea. Nope. Hey, Sue, how you doing? You and I had talked about, like, you know, making a show about what we would do with these cinematic universes. And you have plenty. You have Disney with Star Wars, and you have Disney with the MCU. You have Warner Brothers with things like Fantastic Beasts and what's going on with Johnny Depp. And you have things like with Pirates of the Caribbean, which, of course, no longer has Johnny Depp. No, it doesn't. He's not coming back. His lawyer's already like said that's not happening. Lawyer, agent, whoever, they already said it's not happening. But then you also have the very, very, very poorly done DCEU with all the, you know, DC properties characters. And I spent a lot of time thinking about this because there's one big thing that drives me crazy with things like with the MCU. One thing that drives me crazy with the MCU is the fact that there is so much context in that in that universe. There's so much. And a lot of the movies and even the TV shows very quickly rely on, you know, what's already happened in the MCU, that there's some references that you may not understand.
Yeah, they assume that you watch everything.
Yes. And like, so with the exception of something like, I think Moon Knight was one of the only ones that didn't really touch on any of the other properties. Moon Knight was,
yeah.
I'm just saying, but Moon Knight was very much its own thing. Mm-hmm. There was no callback or anything. Like, there was not like a continuous callback to, you know, like Tony Stark or Captain America or Doctor Strange or all that stuff. So I'll probably fix it by like just making it to where each standalone project was in fact a standalone project. You don't have to constantly refer back to prior events. Like, I understand the universe is shared and everything else, but you don't really need to call back to every single other movie just for the sake of calling out to these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get it's a shared universe, but you know, if you've not really seen these movies and you want to go see like Doctor Strange 2, but you never saw Spider-Man No Way Home, you know, like that gets brought up in Doctor Strange 2. He brings up like the whole like, oh, well, we helped Spider-Man with this thing. But you have that like, and like really just, I don't know. Like, I would say there's one thing about the MCU that does kind of like, I think is kind of funny. People have a lot of problems with characters like Captain Marvel. And the problem is that they're like, oh, she's too cocky. I don't like her. And I've seen that. I don't know how many times you have seen that. But I remember that was like a big gripe for a lot of people. She's way too cocky. I don't like her. Like, yeah, well,
mm-hmm.
Have you seen Iron Man?
Yeah.
Have you seen Doctor Strange? They're two characters that are very cocky.
Extremely arrogant, those guys.
Like, I mean, it's great for their characters. Like, it's added for comedic value. Maybe it's the way that Brie Larson, maybe it's like how she came off in her performance of it, but I don't really see any difference. I see like a lot of confidence and from a pretty much like undefeatable character. But
yeah, but I mean, before, you know, that was her arc for her solo movie, right? She was a kind of a beaten, almost emotionless individual because she was told, you know, emotions will be your downfall. That's your weakness.
Yeah.
And through most of the movie, she did play it very, you know, close to her chest to avoid the pitfalls of emotions.
Yeah.
But when she, you know, she, you know, goes to Earth, does what, you know, she got to do. She's hanging around the kid like, wow, kids bring emotions out in me because I think kids are cool and whatever. It's when she actually connects with her human side. Well, I mean, she's human, but you get what I'm saying. When she connects with her humanity, reconnects with it, is when she becomes more powerful than anything, you know, they could have imagined.
And yeah,
leads to that final fight of don't use your powers and fight me fair. And she's like, no, that'd be so.
Well, no, but it's like that's a dynamic that I think is kind of hysterical. It's a night and day kind of thing because with her, there's the kid, and people got annoyed because there was like a kid in the greater majority of this storyline for Captain Marvel. And then I started thinking back, like, dude, Iron Man 3, as this kid is talking about how his dad went to go get a pack of cigarettes and never came back, Tony Stark says flat out, and I quote, well, dad's leave. No reason to be a pussy about it. Like, that, like, I mean, he says this to a kid. Like, now, it's like, and it works because Tony Stark's kind of an asshole. And he's also, at that point, he's even more of an asshole because of everything he just lost. But, so it didn't really...
PTSD.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on. Like, if you have Iron Man telling you dad's leave, don't be a pussy about it. Like, I mean, it's a great line. But, so you have that. You have a lot of these characters, and you have like the actors that portray them that do a fantastic job. And I will even go, like, one more thing I would absolutely fix about the MCU is really with one movie. I don't understand where it happened, but Black Panther, okay, that final fight scene with him and Killmonger, that was, it just, it was like a rubber band fight. Like, the shadows were off and everything else. It was like, it's like, it was such a rushed job that we never got to see, like, the more toned, well, maybe not toned, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nuance.
We didn't get to see, like, huh?
The nuance of their fighting styles.
No. We never got to see, like, an actual realistic version of those characters, because all the other Marvel films and even the TV shows have very realistic looking characters, even when you know that they're CGI. Mm-hmm. You know, even things like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like the big fight with Sam at the end, where he's flying through the air and he's got the shield and all that stuff, like, that was so realistic looking most of the time. But if you look at Black Panther at the end of it, when they're going through, like, the through the mines and everything else, and they're falling and they're trying to avoid that train, and it just, it's so cartoony that it kind of just distracts you from the entire movie. So I would add to that, that would actually be something I would have to fix, because whoever didn't give the animators time to smooth that out, honestly, it's, I don't know, it kills the whole feel of the movie for me. But anyway,
I think that the final verdict on Marvel is they're pretty much doing it right. And like you said, not everything needs to be a throwback to something in some random thing, right?
Yeah.
Right now, really, the only major callbacks should involve, you know, the snap and the return and things that affect the global community. Because
yeah,
it affects everybody. And it makes perfect sense to at least bring that up every once in a while. But when it's like a straight up, hey, did you hear what happened on the news with the thing over on the other side of the what now? And it's just there to be talked about, just to throw that reference in that we are connected. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean, just, I don't know, there's so much that goes into it that, you know, you don't need that much context. Like, I get it. It takes place in the same universe. But we don't need constant throwbacks to something. It's like, oh, yeah, we did that with Spider-Man. And they might as well look at the camera and be like, hey, did you guys see Spider-Man No Way Home? If not, you should. That's what it feels like to me. Like, oh, and, like, the Spider-Man films did that with Iron Man, and I get why, but sometimes there's a little too much. Like, but, yeah. But those are pretty much my gripes.
My favorite thing is the fact that they give us Easter eggs that we don't know are Easter eggs yet.
Yeah. But still, I mean,
stuff for the future, just, not the past.
Yeah. There's just, I mean, sometimes there's just too much that goes on, that goes into them, that it just drives me crazy. That's just, yeah.
But definitely not movies you can get everything in one sitting.
No. No, Christ, did they even watch the Marvel movies right now? You would have to have like a good week and a half to 2 weeks if you're going to sit down and stream them one after the other and watch the shows. You have to have a lot of time set aside just to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember, like, someone, when Doctor Strange 2 came out, someone was talking about how they were going to go back and watch all these Marvel movies building up to Doctor Strange 2. I was like, have fun. You're going to be there for a while. But, oh, no. So what do you got?
I am going to bring Star Wars to the table.
Oh, good.
Because I am one of those outliers that I don't actively despise the sequel trilogy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't despise the sequel trilogy. I just see all the squandered potential that we will never see with those actors, because obviously one of them is dead, and you know, Harrison Ford isn't exactly like a young guy himself anymore, so.
He's still doing Indiana Jones, though.
Yeah, I'm hesitant about that one.
I don't recall hearing anything about Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, he's not going to be in it. Harrison Ford couldn't stand him. He's not coming back for this one.
Indy abandoned his child again.
Pretty much. That whole hat blowing along the floorboards of the church at the end of Crystal Skull. Shia LaBeouf about to, like, you know, pick it up and put it on, and then Indiana Jones snatching it out of his hand.
Like, not yet, kid.
Yep. I've got one more adventure in me. Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Nursing Home Pudding cabinet. Like,
the nurse is a
nurse. We're almost there. What if at the end of Indiana Jones and whatever this next one is, what if at the end of this Indiana Jones movie, you find out he has dementia and this is all happening in his imagination?
Okay, you're putting some stuff in my brain that I don't know if I can handle.
Yeah, well, either way, okay, we'll get back to that someday, but what about Star Wars?
Star Wars, okay. We're talking about fixing Star Wars, and so far, I think they've done a little bit of what they need to as far as the TV shows go. Maybe, this might be a controversial opinion, but maybe from here going forward, we stop focusing on, I guess, what some might call the sacred era of Star Wars, you know, events that happened around and during the original trilogy.
Okay.
It was cool getting to check in with Boba. You know, it's cool being introduced to the Mandalorian. And I'm okay with all this. But what I would like to see moving forward is, I guess, what is essentially present day Star Wars. I want to see the aftermath moving forward of, you know, the fall of Kylo Ren and
Rey Skywalker.
You know, it doesn't even have to be about her. But of course, Disney, they're going to toss a reference in. Did you hear what Rey Skywalker did? You know, but I want to see how the galaxy is rebuilding after Palpatine has, you know, once again fallen and the Empire or whatever the hell they were called is once again, you know, in ruins. That's what I am anxious to see the most.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, I just wish that we would have gotten, like, you know, something that made sense for the last three episodes for Star Wars. We didn't. And, you know, someone told me earlier that the whole point of The Force Awakens, and I told him, like, my big thing is that it's a blatant beat-for-beat remake of A New Hope.
Yeah.
Every single part of it is a flat-out remake of The New Hope. And,
have a good night, Sue.
So, and this one guy's like, nope, bye, Sue. It's good to see you. And the guy's like, well, I like the idea of history repeating itself. I'm like, well, I get the whole history repeats itself thing. But we don't really need a history repeating itself kind of thing because we know history repeats itself. It's just, it's like, it doesn't make sense.
No, like, why would it absolutely does make sense because it, I just realized Palpatine, the Emperor, only ever had one plan. Make something big that blows stuff up. That's his go-to. So, of course, given the opportunity, he went back to that well.
Yeah. But it's like, that's the thing, though. It's like, we had such a great villain with Snoke. We had such a great villain. You know, I can, like you said, I'm not one of the ones that, well, I'm not one of the ones that actively hates the last three movies. I just see where they dropped the ball on so many things. Finn was supposed to be this very, very strong, like, co-leading character. Pretty much, like, he was supposed to be the Leia to Rey's Luke. That's how they pretty much made him out to be. To Kylo Ren being, like, the new Vader, Snoke being the new Emperor, and all that stuff. And, of course, Han Solo and Chewbacca being Han Solo and Chewbacca. There was so much that was missed out on with that, with that series. Yeah. The training and everything else. Rey, she's so strong with the Force, but she's very inexperienced with it. Luke Skywalker, this very strong character This character that was supposed to be like the new Obi-Wan Kenobi, basically, for Rey. And the very first time we're introduced to him is at the end, reintroduced to him is at the end of Force Awakens, where he's staring at her in his white flowing Jedi robe and all that stuff. We find out in the next movie that he's cut himself off from the Force. And I get having two different directors playing tug of war with a story kind of screwed it.
Yeah.
Right? Severely. What J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson put out there, it was so incohesive that it was borderline impossible for me to watch.
I cannot imagine a million years that the pitch meeting for the new trilogy involved, okay, so the new big bad, Snoke, the guy that's going to be behind everything,
yep,
we're going to kill him off in the second movie.
I don't
think that was the plan.
I think they should have stopped the Skywalker saga at episode 6. I think that's where it should have stopped. There are so many other stories to tell in Star Wars that they don't have to all revolve around the Jedi versus the Sith, but I think they went the safe route. Excuse me. And I really think that was a mistake. If you had to go back and touch up on it, you could have had a callback to Luke Skywalker's Jedi Order. You could see, like, the Jedi are thriving now. You know, like, they are, like, Luke Skywalker fixed their mistakes. Whatever. There are so many ways that you could have gone about having the Jedi involved, but not having them be the focal point of the series. I would have loved to have seen something like that. Let's see some other stories.
Which, you know, I mean, the to be doing moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. See, like, but that's what's going so great for Star Wars right now are the other stories. Aside from Obi-Wan and the appearances of Ahsoka and Luke Skywalker in The Mandalorian, a large part of those stories don't involve the Jedi at all. Boba Fett, for as okay as I think the series is, I've got to say it's only okay. I don't think it's that great. Mandalorian is knocking out the park, doing a great job. But even like how Rogue One had nothing to do with the Jedi or the Sith. Absolutely nothing. Vader was such a small, minute part of it. Like, I think I look at Vader as being nothing more than really fan service. He didn't really have a whole lot in that movie that he was really needed for, I guess.
But they were given an opportunity to make Darth Vader look like a badass.
And they did.
And they did.
And they did. They absolutely did. But yeah, it's like, if they're to continue Star Wars, get rid of the damn Jedi. Get rid of the Sith. We don't need to see more of it because you guys already screwed it up enough. I mean, we saw what could have been. We could have had such, if you're going to have the OG characters, we could have had such a great story with them. We didn't. We had a very weak story.
Mm-hmm.
Han being killed off by his son in the very first movie. You have Luke dying from helping Rey in the second movie. You had, you know, like pretty much like, oh, I guess like Yoda was cool in the second movie, but it was missing so much. Like, it didn't have any of the things that made the prequels or the like. Original trilogy so great. It didn't have like a lot of it. You know, the whole where did the lightsaber come from? That's a story for another time. Well, we never heard the story. to my understanding, that was going to be a big thing. Where did this lightsaber come from? How did they recover it from Bespin? We never got it. In fact, that character was, I forget her name, but Lupita Nyong'o's character was completely pretty much like just sidelined along with Finn.
Yeah, everybody was sidelined.
Except this is all
Rey and
Rey and Kylo Ren, like their love story. Yeah, their love story, their connection. That was the whole focal point. It was I don't know. It was just so bad. The whole thing was bad. The Knights of Ren, we were supposed to see like this badass scene of theirs, and then they're just dispatched within like 5 minutes at the end of Rise of Skywalker.
How about Captain Phasma?
That's another one. Like
they got this badass chick with chrome stormtrooper armor, and she gets dumped in the dumpster.
It's like they didn't learn from Darth Maul or Boba Fett. Like, I mean, they didn't really learn from these characters. Boba Fett may have lived, and same with Darth Maul, but they weren't originally supposed to live. But Darth Maul was dispatched at the very end of episode one. He could have been the focal point for the entire, and I think originally he was going to be the bad guy for the final trilogy. But didn't happen.
No. No, it didn't.
But such a damn shame.
The problem that I'm facing here is all of these awesome stories. Like I said before, they're in the past. Everything is in Star Wars past. I want to, like you said, chart new territory with people that aren't, you know, related to the Jedi. I think where we're at now, Rey is like one of the very, very last surviving Jedi. Who knows? Maybe Grogu is out there somewhere.
Grogu.
The idea that I want to see put forward is stop living in the past.
Yeah,
we absolutely don't need to see every angle of, you know, A New Hope. We don't need to see everybody's perspective from Empire. We just need to move forward with the Star Wars universe from anybody's perspective except, you know, Rey, because we already saw that. If you want to talk about, you know, there's a Jedi doing blah, 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 and fine, whatever. But as long as the story is not about that, let's see some smugglers. How about a whole show about what's happening to all of the displaced stormtroopers and things like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Bill Burr. Bill Burr had there's a joke about Bill Burr having such a better story arc as a former stormtrooper than what's his face that played Finn did. I forget the actor's name. And they're right. Bill Burr had this amazing arc as a stormtrooper that is no longer there. Like, you know, things he did, all that stuff. But there's other characters. Let's explore the world after the fall of the Empire. Get rid of the episodes 7 through 9. Just, you know, fuck them. Move on. Let's see what happened with like the Jedi that were in hiding, or the Jedi that left at a young age. Think of like Reva from Obi-Wan, but the ones that didn't fall for the dark side or didn't use their anger to hunt down Darth Vader. Let's look at the ones that are in hiding that are still helping people out, that are getting like reacquainted with the Force or something. That'd be an interesting story. You would have other characters that, again, stormtroopers. You have rebel fighters. It was a giant civil war. The whole thing was like it was an intergalactic civil war.
How about just a comedy where it's just these guys living on a planet that don't take sides?
I like that too. That would be my kind of planet.
Everyone keeps trying to recruit the planet into their, you know, we need to make this a such and such base. No, you need to make this our base. And they're like, look, you set it in a cantina on a neutral planet where no one's allowed to hurt each other. So you have like Both sides coming into the same bar. And they're like, don't cause trouble. So it's like Cheers in Star Wars, but no one's allowed to fight.
Yeah, that's funny. Will we have a Norm?
Yes, of course, but it would be some sort of heavily prosthetic alien.
That's funny. See, I can get behind that. You know, I gotta say this, like, Sue, when she wrote down in the messages, by dides, I know she meant dudes. I thought she called us dildos for a second.
Yeah, it wouldn't be wrong.
James Babcock, welcome to the show, buddy. Man, don't get me started on these universes. The studios are so disassociated from fans that they don't know what they should do anymore. They always second guess themselves by looking too closely to what they're saying on Twitter these days. And that's right. That's absolutely right. They are so focused, and that's what it all comes down to. Studio interference, and you and I, we've spoken about this on the show extensively. Mm-hmm. Studio interference and how it messes up really good things. But they have situations where the studios actually listen to fans, like, okay, Sonic the Hedgehog was a great example. That whatever that thing was that they had in the original trailer, when they had the song Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio.
Because it's so 90s.
Like, yeah, Sonic. But I mean, you can tell that trailer and that, like, character, it was all approved by people that had never played the game, watched any of the cartoons, or, God forbid, even had a conversation with a single fan of the series or developer of the series.
Did anybody even talk to Jaleel White about doing the voice? Probably not.
But it's like, you know, and then when the fans got angry and started, like, really making fun of it, so it was like, whoa, okay, guys, we're going to delay this so we can work on a few things. And the few things was completely overhauling the movie.
But
spending millions of dollars to overhaul the movie.
Ugly Sonic did get his time in the spotlight.
Yeah, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the movie. God.
Great cameo.
That's so bad. But no, James is right with that one. But they have other things like, you know, where things like Kathleen Kennedy with she's heading of Lucas, Lucasfilm. She's the head of Lucasfilm, and she's the one calling these shots for Star Wars, and she's the one that's like, oh, yeah, this is great. The kids will love it. What the hell was she thinking with J.J. Abrams handing notes to the studio? Actually, let's start with George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Here is George Lucas's original version of Star Wars. It was going to be where I believe Leia was a chancellor. She was the Supreme Chancellor. Another menace. It was going to be Darth Maul, and I think Darth Talon, I believe, his apprentice, were going to come back into play and mess shit up, basically. So now you have Luke Skywalker, who is now on a Jedi Council for his own version of the Jedi that he built from mistakes he learned, and the three films are going to take place fighting the menace of Darth Maul and his new apprentice. It was going to be like, and it was like another, like, whole series of wars, but it was going to be like the big finale, like the end of the Skywalker saga.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be big. Kathy Kennedy, she's like, oh, that's great. Yeah, George, we'll keep these. Puts them down, throws them in the trash can. J.J. Abrams comes in with his plan for three movies, and I don't know what his idea for the second film was. But Kathleen Kennedy loved it. He made his first movie, ripped off A New Hope completely, top to bottom, just ripped it off.
Yeah.
And then for Rian Johnson to come in, he's like, oh, yeah, well, here you go. Like, this is where I was going to go. Oh, that's great. Time for my version of the movie. Like, you know, and then he just does whatever he wants to do.
This has got to go.
Yeah, it's like, let's see, like, oh, yeah, there we go, JJ. Okay, Snoke is the big bad. No. Luke Skywalker is the future Obi-Wan to Rey. No, get rid of him too. We'll kill that fucker.
Dick now.
Let's just he hates the Force. Let's see. Finn is going to be very important. No, he won't. No black man on my watch. Let's see. Come on. Oh,
Snoke. Excuse me. Yeah. Rain. We're gonna need some merchandising stuff. Can we add cute little animals?
Oh God.
We need Luke. Like an Ewok, but smaller and cuter.
You know, it just baffles me. I mean, the whole thing, and I almost gave credit to Rian Johnson for a scene that I thought was so badass, and then I realized it wasn't Rian Johnson. It was back to J.J. Abrams again. And it was a scene where Rey is in the desert as you have Kylo Ren, like, coming at her with the ship. As she jumps over the ship and she slices the entire wing of the TIE fighter off. I was like, oh, well, he gave us that. I was like, oh, wait, no, he didn't do that. That was J.J. Abrams again. I'm trying to think, what did Rian Johnson give us? Aside from, like, you know, Ben Swolo. You know, like, yeah, like him, like with a big old like fucking chest and everything. I mean, you know, Kylo Ren was built like a brick shit house in that movie, but we got to see it. We got a topless
Adam Driver on Saturday Night Live as Kylo Ren undercover boss twice.
Yep,
that's beautiful. All right, we have somebody looking to, I guess, transition with a comment.
All right, so let's see. The worst of the DCEU, the fans started hating. Actually, that is next on the list. Fans started hating on the movie and didn't want the direction of the movie Zack Snyder was building up towards, so the studio got scared while they were filming Justice League until he messed up the movie. Then when the internet learned that Zack was building up to everyone in the internet saying, hey, that actually wasn't that bad, we want that. Now everyone is hounding WB to make what was originally planned. Like, the fans ruined it for themselves. No, that's, he's right.
No. No.
But,
absolutely, 100% disagree.
No, you disagree with that? Why?
Zack Snyder's original plan was for Batman to knock up Lois Lane.
No, I don't agree with that one. What I agree with is the fact that, like, he was... But here's the thing, like, I don't think Zack Snyder, I don't think he had that deep of a plan. I think Zack Snyder... Okay, I'll say it this way. What Warner Brothers wanted wasn't realistic to me.
What Warner Brothers wanted was $1 billion.
But Warner Brothers wanted the success of Marvel without investing the time. They wanted Zack Snyder to catch up like lickety split to, you know, Marvel's, what Disney was doing.
Then maybe they should have got a good director.
And that's the other thing. Zack Snyder, I'm not a fan of Zack Snyder's. People make fun of me for it. I think he's an abysmal director. I think he is a beautiful cinematographer.
Oh, his shots are gorgeous.
Oh, absolutely. I think he is a beautiful cinematographer. When it comes to storytelling, I think he is barely even in the realm of being okay. The last movie I liked of Zack Snyder's, I think, was honestly 300. But that's not hard to do because you have the entire graphic novel, which is pretty much what that is. It's a beat by beat, a shot for shot graphic novel on screen. I will say that James has a point though, because people were getting very impatient with like the storytelling, and I blame that on Zack Snyder's movies being like 15 hours long, and very, very, very like just shot. Like if we had less slow motion in his movies, we'd have like an hour long movie. But so let me rephrase this for, let me reread this for everyone. James Babcock says the worst is the DCEU. The fans started hating on the movies that, and didn't want that direction. Other movies that Zack Snyder was building up towards. Mm-hmm. I will say that with Man of Steel, people were pissed off because Man of Steel was just out of character for Superman. And I get the fact that Man of Steel, first off, I know, Josh, you don't really care for the movie. I really enjoyed Man of Steel.
No, I couldn't stand it.
There were some things I didn't really get, but for what it's worth, I enjoyed the movie.
It wasn't the morality tale, and it wasn't even the fact that Superman wasn't Superman. It's the fact that, you know, his mother had to work at Sears. Clark's.
I mean, it's a farm town
around the globe, and the farm is going under. Right, it is literally she's about to lose the farm, and she has to take a second job at Sears. So she's running the farm and working at Sears, and Clark's just, you know, off dicking around doing whatever.
And real quick, like, how long were they losing that farm? Because Batman bought the bank and forgave their loan at the end of Justice League. That took place how many years after Man of Steel? How long? Well, like, that's a long foreclosure process.
Well, Justice League might have happened 2 weeks after BVS. I don't know.
You know what? I'm sure you've seen Unfaithful with, you know, Diane Lane and Richard Gere. I think Martha might have, you know.
Slid down the bat pole?
Possibly. It's like, shh, Bruce, call me Martha. That was my mom's name. Shh, mommy's here.
Okay. imagine, you know, Batman and Superman get into a fight down the road, and Superman's like, you can't do this, Bruce. It's whatever. You're going off the rails. And, or maybe Superman. Yes, Superman does the whole thing where he's like evil and, you know, takes over the world and whatever. And Batman, they're like, Batman, how are you going to stop him? You don't have any tools. You don't have any kryptonite. And he's like, I got this. He walks up to Superman in this continuity we've created. And as Superman's about to destroy him, he's like, I boned your mom. And then we get Martha.
Oh my God. Then we get another close up shot of like Superman yelling like he did at the end of Man of Steel.
She lost at the beginning of Zack Snyder's Justice League. So
okay.
The fact is,
oh, and that's right. Then at the end of the movie, Bruce Wayne bought the bank and forgave the loan. But no, you're right. You're right. Like James says, love it or hate it, Zack's version of Justice League was the 13th most bought movie of 2021 on physical media. On a list of 100 movies, that's a great number and shows just how many people would watch it in theaters. And you're right. And of course, as they say, art is purely subjective. Zack Snyder's Justice League, I thought was pretty good. But there are things like in the Snyder cut that I don't understand. And it's only because there's such a heavy usage of slow motion. And then this whole thing. What pisses me off even more is the fact that we finally see Martian Manhunter in the Snyder Cut. We see him. Finally, we've got him. Son of a bitch has been here the whole time. So while they're fighting Doomsday, Martian Manhunter's been here. While Superman and Batman were fighting, the one person that could have stopped them both and turned the tides of everything ignored the whole thing. I know he wasn't too sure of Superman and all the yada, 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 but, you know, he still could have, helped because the military was directly involved with their fight in against Doomsday, if I remember right. We could have had this awesome character, but we never got it. We had a cameo. And then he's, pretending to be other people that are really close to Bruce and Clark. It's just, really creepy, actually. But, And I will say that I do appreciate the fact that Zack Snyder got rid of all the cheesy ass dialogue of, you know, when they're fighting. Like, I'm sorry, when Superman comes back and he's talking to Batman, he's like, well, you didn't bring me back because you like me. They took out that really stupid line. They took out that whole interaction. It's down to business. It's down to brass tacks. What are we doing? Let's get this done. And they don't have the line of like, well, you didn't bring me back because you like me. And then Batman, I don't not. Like, come on. That's not Batman. Batman wouldn't say shit. He would just maybe glance at him for a second, go back to what he's doing.
Out of all the changes, yeah, that's some of those cheesy lines, yeah, I'm glad are gone. But one thing I will not be forgiving is taking out the scene where Flash and Superman are saving those people, Flash pushing the truck, which, by the way, it was just really weird seeing Justice League for the first time and getting these cutaways to this just random family.
Like, oh, yeah.
They're going to be fodder later. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They're going to be really important at some point. Oh, they're not? Okay.
Flash is going to push their truck and feel like a hero. And that, you know, I dig that. That was fine. But that turn of the head where Flash is like feeling really proud of himself for, you know, getting out there and saving the day and being a hero. And then he's just like, yeah.
Well, I mean,
double take of Superman carrying the whole damn apartment building.
See, and all I care about is that they get Michael Jackson, I mean, Ezra Miller, they get Ezra Miller to stop playing the Flash now. Get rid of him. The guy's problematic. Get him the hell away from the role. So hopefully in the Flash movie, he dies at the end. Or they just reset the timeline and it's a new actor playing Flash. There's so many ways to go about this. I hope to God they do it the right way. But and plus, come on, let's face it. Ezra Miller's Flash, you cannot be further from that character than this idiot is. Like, he's not good at that part. He's barely a good actor. But like when it comes to Barry Allen, he's not. I can't stand him.
So let's fix it now.
Good. He dies in the he dies. He reveals himself to be the reverse Flash. The real Barry Allen died.
Read the comments, monkey.
All right. Sorry, my eye's itching, Josh. Sorry, buddy. There we go.
For those of you listening to the audio version,
okay.
Brandon extended his middle finger towards me.
I'm pretty sure they're going to release the Flash. James comes back and says, I'm pretty sure they're going to release the Flash movie as is. And then just recast him going forward. He won't even be promoting the film. I'm pretty sure he's still wanted right now.
Yeah, it would be a little awkward.
Like that, yeah, I mean, like I can't imagine
Ezra Miller doing the junkets.
Ezra Miller shows up to his interviews with all the kids that he's harboring.
God. I would love to see that just from the standpoint of the look on the reporters' faces as the feed goes live and they're like, all right, we have Ezra Miller.
You know, I still want Seth Rogen. I still want Seth Rogen to reprise his role from Pineapple Express and to serve Ezra Miller these papers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, so Ezra, tell me about this movie. Like, oh, yeah, it's a really great film. It's like, oh. You know, hey, check this out real quick. And he hands him a piece of paper and it's like, you've been served. And he walks out of the interview.
Throws It'd up the deuces great. To the camera.
Yeah.
I love Seth Rogen. That'd be hilarious.
But yeah, it's like it's so problematic that they even, and I get they can't, like, everyone's like, oh, just cancel the movie altogether. Well, they can't.
No.
They spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this movie. They cannot just be like, okay, we'll call it a loss. No, the studio needs to recoup that money. And you know, bringing back, no one's going to see this movie because of Ezra Miller. They're going to go see it because of two words, Michael Keaton. That is a selling point of this movie. Once it was revealed that he's coming back, people lost their shit.
And then, of course, speculation started running wild about who else could make an appearance.
You know what? They lost they lost out by not having Jeffrey Dean Morgan play like the Thomas Wayne version of Batman, the brutal version of Batman. I hope they do that. So let's see, James Babcock, he comes back, he says, I feel bad for the cast when the interviews come around. You know, this whole situation is going to come up. It'll be so awkward. You know what? I'm looking forward to it. I'm absolutely looking forward to it. I've been looking forward to these interviews more than I've been looking forward to this movie. I cannot.
That's a good one.
I can't even begin to explain how excited I am about seeing these interviews. Hey, what about Ezra Miller? Who? Ezra Miller. Who's that? The star of the movie. Never heard of him.
I think Michael Keaton is probably going to take point on a lot of things. One, he is the name that people are lining up to see. And two, he's the one with the experience. He's the one that can take questions like, so the stuff with Ezra Miller. And he's like, no, let's just talk about the movie.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I mean, you have these amazing actors there in this movie already. Just imagine having like an interview between Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck talking about like the newest iteration of Batman and the OG Batman from 1989. Because both Batman are going to be in this movie.
Batfleck would definitely bend the knee and pay his respects.
Yeah, and I'm curious what they're going to do with that. And I know we don't really get into speculation on this show, but I'm curious about the whole Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton thing. Like, does he play another Bruce Wayne or does he play Thomas Wayne? It's really like, I mean, I'm sure it's probably going to be like the whole Thomas Wayne thing. I hope.
With who?
With Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton is playing his Batman from the movies.
Is it like the Flashpoint movie or is it like, I thought it was going to be like the Flashpoint Paradox kind of thing. I thought that's what the movie was going to be.
It's multiverse.
Okay. Well, that explains that then. Okay. Well, maybe we'll get Grant Gustin and he'll come back and he'll play the actual Flash from now on. So.
See, I think that's a great idea. A lot of people don't agree with me, but when is that new?
And then we get Bluntman and Chronic coming in to join the Justice League.
Snoochie Boochies.
Snoogans. And then we can bring back Cockknocker.
I'm digging what you're putting down, man.
Oh God, the Legion of Doom. You have the Joker and you have Cockknocker sitting right next to each other. Okay, it's Flashpoint, just not the version from the comics. Okay, well, I'm even less inclined to see it now then. I may very well wait for it to come. I might wait for like a month after the movie's released to catch on HBO Max. But yeah, so that'd be great. I mean, you have Bluntman and Chronic and you have Cockknocker. You have all these people coming out to fight in the Justice League, the next Justice League movie. Now, hey, we don't know if we're going to get Henry Cavill back as Superman. We don't know if Ben Affleck's going to come back as Batman for like a multi whatever deal. So let's just get other characters.
Well,
that'd be awesome.
Keaton is coming back.
Yep. Is he coming back for multiple? He's just coming back for this one though, right?
No, he's going to be back for the new Batgirl series.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. And there's one more series that I want to touch on because we spent a lot of time on the less problematic ones. I want to talk about one that I don't really care that much about, but I care about it as like a matter of like, I guess, justice for the actor. Fantastic Beasts.
Okay.
Now, Johnny Depp was fired after the second film. And he was replaced. The actor that replaced him, what was his name again?
Tim Allen?
Tim Allen. Yeah, you know, Tim Allen came in, started shouting to Infinity and Beyond.
When, Newt looks at him and he's like, uh-huh? Yeah, Home Improvement.
Oh my God. Let's see, Mads Mikkelsen. That's it, Mads Mikkelsen. They replaced him with Mads Mikkelsen. Like, it's not the same. Johnny Depp has a very specific kind of presence that you don't get often in films. Kevin, he's got like a very, huh?
Said even Kevin Smith was able to get that Depp presence. In
Tusk. Yeah, God, I don't talk about those movies. Those are horrible.
But his face is horrible. Sorry, didn't mean to be rude.
But so you have this, and now that like the whole Amber Heard thing's going now, whether or not you side with Amber Heard, I don't care. It just makes you, you know. I won't get into it. I try to stay away from politics on our show as much as possible. But with this, like, I really feel like they should have Mads Mikkelsen, like, you know, reveal himself, like, to have been like, I was going to say like hiding his identity, but you know, he's Dumbledore. Everyone knows he's Dumbledore. So at this point, how would you switch him back to Johnny Depp? How would you have him going from having like one white eye and one, you know, one brown eye to looking and carrying himself, dressing in like a very specific style too?
Do you mean two brown eyes?
Well, Johnny Depp's character in Fantastic Beasts, he had the one eye that was a different color.
Mm-hmm.
So, but on top of that, they also had specific styles from the hair down to like the facial hair to like the suits, everything. It was all a specific style. The way he moved, it was so different.
It's almost like there were different people.
Yeah, I know, right? You never know. But so you have that. Would you get back to Johnny Depp, or would you have like a backstory at least to show why his entire persona changed?
Isn't it done? Isn't the Fantastic Beasts series done?
No, I think it was supposed to be like a 6-movie situation. Because the whole point of Fantastic Beasts is, you know,
money.
Well, not just money, but it's like, it's supposed to be like, how did Dumbledore end up with the Elder Wand that, you know, is in Fantastic Beasts?
Amazing how Dumbledore's entire backstory revolves around a zoologist.
Yeah, right. Let's see. I see.
Maybe it's just wishful thinking that it was done. Not that I have anything against, you know, anything involved with this stuff. It's just what I know is that Warner Brothers wants to make the Harry Potter universe a long-lasting cinematic franchise.
Yeah.
And at some point, of course, they're going to have to move on from Fantastic Beasts, or they're going to spin off of it or something. The thing is, they have to tell other stories in this universe if they're going to keep going.
Yeah. I'd say, here's the thing. Like, okay, so Fantastic Beasts, I'm looking it up right now. Originally, it was supposed to be, originally it was going to be a trilogy. But as J.K. Rowling is writing them, they have two more movies that they're making. The fourth one doesn't even have a script yet. So,
and I hope the characters do not have a script, because they should move on.
I agree.
Much like Star Wars, give us a different.
And here's the messed up part with the Fantastic Beasts series. Once again, you have Ezra Miller. So, and he's such a focal point of this movie. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Ezra Miller is actually Dumbledore's brother or something in the series.
Oh, he plays. Okay.
I forget what his relationship is, but either way, he's such a pivotal character in the series that now Warner Brothers is like, Ezra Miller has screwed us on two different projects.
our two biggest tentpoles.
But anyway, that's the story for another time.
And just kicks the poles out.
Oh God! But I'm going to have to get going, Josh. I've got to get ready for it tonight here.
Okay.
Uh, B BJaxman1982 on Instagram. That's where you can find me. The Wadcast on Instagram. TheWadcast.com and Facebook.com/TheWadcast. But I do have to get going, guys. I'm so sorry. Josh, I'll let you close this out. I just realized what time it was.
No problem.
All right, buddy. You have a great weekend. And, guys, I will see you guys next Friday.
Well, guys, it's just us. And you know what that means. Unfortunately, it means because Brandon left, I'm not going to be able to annoy him with the music. But it's okay. It's okay. We're still going to play it. There it is. You feel that? Feel that vibe? Sorry, I'm probably blasting the AC in the back. It's Florida. It's bloody hot. Okay, it's not so much hot as, you know, humid. You got swamps growing in places you don't want to know about. All right, as I do each and every week, well, first of all, let me direct you to wadcomedia.com and thewadcast.com, as well as Facebook's Wadco Media page and the Wadcast Facebook page. Make sure you give them a like. That way you'll know exactly when we go on the air every week, and whether it's the Wadcast every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, or if it's the movie Potluck, which, by the way, if you haven't checked out, the season finale was last night, episode number 21, where Jen and her guest, one of them was me, talked about spooky stuff. That's right, scary movies. The Movie Potluck is a podcast all about movies and the associated foods with them. But starting next week, on Thursday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, it is going to be the start of a brand new show from the mind of the Movie Potluck, Jen, and Wadco Media, moviesmakingmeals.com. It's TV dinners. It's going to be a show dedicated to not only TV shows, but the tropes that go along with them. So I look forward to hearing from you about that and letting you watch the new programming coming from Wadco Media. But in the meantime, the music's playing, and that means I have to tell you, hey, guys. Guys. And I'm using, you know, and you know what? Guys. That means everybody. Hey, everybody. Remember, the only thing standing between you and your dreams is you. Whether you want to be a writer, or a director, or an actor, you can do it. You can do it now. You can do it today. In fact, do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow's not guaranteed. All it takes is a pen and paper to write. Putting your thoughts down for others to see. That's the idea. You got a phone, don't you? Start shooting. Video. Create. And create today. Stop making excuses. You got this. Well, thank you all for joining Brandon and myself for episode number 95 of the podcast. It's been a blast talking to all of you. And I will see you next week once again for episode number 96. So until then, I'm Josh, saying goodbye for myself and Brandon. Have a great, great, great